No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right here, this second, right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 19th day of May. Yay, you're making it. May, M-A-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y-K-I-N-G. Making it. And I'm so glad that you made M-A-Y apostrophe D time. I'm sorry, I'm done. Made time to meet with God here in this space today through His Word, to allow God to speak to you directly. We hear different things because we're all different people. We're in different seasons in life. We're in different places in life, different regions of the world, different socio-economical places, different ethnicities, different political associations, different denominations. Do you hear the common denominator here? We are all different, and yet we are here because we are seeking the truth of God through His Word. And the truth is what He will deliver to us today. Today we read 2 Samuel chapters 19 through 21. And this week we are reading the New International Version. Let's jump in. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Joab was told, "The king is weeping and mourning for Absalom, and for the whole army. The victory that day was turned into mourning, because on that day the troops heard it said, 'The king is grieving for his son.' The men stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee from battle. The king covered his face and cried aloud, 'Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son! My son!' Then Joab went into the house to the king and said, 'Today you have humiliated all your men who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead. Now go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come on you from your youth till now.' So the king got up and took his seat in the gateway. When the men were told, 'The king is sitting in the gateway,' they all came before him. Meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes. Throughout the tribes of Israel, all the people were arguing among themselves, saying, 'The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies. He is the one who rescued us from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled the country to escape from Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed to rule over us, has died in battle. So why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?' King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests: 'Ask the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his palace, since what is being said throughout Israel has reached the king at his quarters? You are my relatives, my own flesh and blood. So why should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my own flesh and blood? May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you are not the commander of my army for life in place of Joab.' He won over the hearts of the men of Judah so that they were all of one mind. They sent word to the king, 'Return, you and all your men.' Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he He fell prostrate before the king and said to him, "May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned, but today I have come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." David replied, "What does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" He said, "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, 'I will have my donkey saddled and will ride on it so I can go with the king.' But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me, and he has slandered your servant to my lord, the king. My lord, the king, is like an angel of God, so do whatever you wish. All my grandfather's descendants deserved nothing but death from my lord, the king. But you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king?" The king said to him, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take everything, now that my lord the king has returned home safely." Barzillai, the Gileadite, also came down from Rogalim to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now Barzillai was very old, 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return, that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever you wish." The king said, "Kimham shall cross over with me, and I shall do for him whatever you wish. And anything you desire from me, I will do for you." So all the people crossed the Jordan, and then the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and bid him farewell, and Barzillai returned to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham crossed with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel had taken the king over. Soon all the men of Israel were coming to the king and saying to him, "Why did our brothers, the men of Judah, steal the king away and bring him and his household across the Jordan together with all his men?" All the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "We did this because the king is closely related to us. Why are you angry about it? Have we eaten any of the king's provisions? Have we taken anything for ourselves?" Then the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the king, so we have a greater claim on David than you have. Why then do you treat us with contempt? Weren't we the first to speak of bringing back our king?" But the men of Judah pressed their claims even more forcefully than the men of Israel. Now a troublemaker named Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjamite, happened to be there. He sounded the trumpet and shouted, "We have no share in David, no part in Jesse's son. Every man to his tent, Israel." So all the men of Israel deserted David to follow Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stayed by their king all the way from the Jordan to Jerusalem. When David returned to his palace in Jerusalem, He took the 10 concubines he had left to take care of the palace and put them in a house under guard. He provided for them, but had no sexual relations with them. They were kept in confinement till the day of their death, living as widows. Then the king said to Amasa, "Summon the men of Judah to come to me within 3 days, and be here yourself." But when Amasa went to summon Judah, he took longer than the time the king had set for him. David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom did. Take your master's men and pursue him, or he will find fortified cities and escape from us." So Joab's men and the Kerethites and Pelethites and all the mighty warriors went out under the command of Abishai. They marched out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. While they were at the great rock in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Joab was wearing his military tunic, and strapped over it at his waist was a belt with a dagger in its sheath. As he stepped forward, it dropped out of its sheath. Joab said to Amasa, "How are you, my brother?" Then Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. Amasa was not on his guard against the dagger in Joab's hand, and Joab plunged it into his belly, and his intestines spilled out on the ground. Without being stabbed again, Amasa died. Then Joab and his brother Abishai pursued Sheba, son of Bichri. One of Joab's men stood beside Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the middle of the road, and the man saw that all the troops came to a halt there. When he realized that everyone who came up to Amasa stopped, he dragged him from the road into a field and threw a garment over him. After Amasa had been removed from the road, everyone went on with Joab to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel-Beth-Maacah, and through the entire region of the Bichrites, who gathered together and followed him. All the troops with Joab came and besieged Sheba in Abel-Beth-Maacah. They built a siege ramp up to the city, and it stood against the outer fortifications. While they were battering the wall to bring it down, a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him." He went toward her and she asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he answered. She said, "Listen to what your servant has to say." "I'm listening," he said. She continued, "Long ago they used to say, 'Get your answer at Abel,' and that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. You are trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance?" "Far be it from me," Joab replied. "Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Hand over this one man, and I'll withdraw from the city." The woman said to Joab, "His head will be thrown to you from the wall." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet, and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home. And Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. Joab was over Israel's entire army. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and Pelethites. Adoniram was in charge of forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheva was secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira, the Jerite, was David's priest. During the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David sought the face of the Lord. The Lord said, "It is on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death." The king summoned the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not a part of Israel, but were survivors of the Amorites. The Israelites had sworn to spare them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel in Judah, had tried to annihilate them. David asked the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? How shall I make atonement so that you will bless the Lord's inheritance?" The Gibeonites answered him, "We have no right to demand silver or gold from Saul or his family. nor do we have the right to put anyone in Israel to death. What do you want me to do for you? David asked. They answered the king, As for the man who destroyed us and plotted against us so that we have been decimated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let seven of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and their bodies exposed before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen one. So the king said, I will give them to you. The king spared Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath before the Lord between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. But the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Aiah's daughter, Rizpah, whom she had borne to Saul, together with the five sons of Saul's daughter, Merib, whom she had borne to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. He handed them over to the Gibeonites, who killed them and exposed their bodies on a hill before the Lord. All seven of them fell together. They were put to death during the first days of the harvest, just as the barley harvest was beginning. Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. When David was told what Aiah's daughter, Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went and took the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead. They had stolen their bodies from the public square at Beth-Shan, where the Philistines had hung them after they struck Saul down on Gilboa. David brought the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from there, and the bones of those who had been killed and exposed were gathered up. They buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the tomb of Saul's father Kish at Zelah in Benjamin and did everything the king commanded. After that, God answered prayer in behalf of the land. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels, and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, Never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished. In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. Okay, let's talk about what has happened here and the significance of it. So we have Absalom, who is the son of King David, who has done everything in his power possible to usurp the throne of his father, even doing so by sleeping with his father's wives and concubines in public at the not-so-wise advice of his advisors. We talk a lot here at Chronological about good and evil, about how we so often fight and defend what we believe is evil in the world that God might call good, and vice versa. We neglect evil that God is vehemently against. When someone like Absalom abuses their position in power for selfish gain, and the way that he charmed the people, in the way that he manipulated people to get something that was not rightfully his, that would ultimately end up dividing the people rather than bringing the people together. This is disobedience. This is defiance. This is sin. This is an abuse of power. This is evil in the sight of God. David outran Saul, and God dealt with Saul in the way that God chose to deal with Saul, even though Saul was God's appointed king for the people of Israel. The people demanded a king. God gave them a king through King Saul. Absalom is not an appointed king. He is self-appointed, and he is doing so by way of force, manipulation, and control. At the same time, Absalom is King David's son, and King David has publicly mourned for his son, even though his son was after his kingdom and kill his own father. The men who are fighting on behalf of King David and risking their lives take his public mourning as a betrayal of their loyalty to King David. David re-enters Jerusalem, and there is a public celebration of the death of Absalom. The enemy is defeated, and King David, the king, is grieving, mourning over the loss of the enemy who was trying to divide the kingdom, take over the kingdom, and kill the current king, which just so happened to be his father. The people saw Absalom as the traitor that he was. And so, as we see today, Joab, who is the commander of David's army, confronts David, and he warns him that if he does not go out and encourage the men that just fought for him, these men would abandon him and they would leave him in a far worse position than he had been at even the beginning of the entire situation. As the reading continues today, we have David going up against the Philistines once again and defeating them. Now, the Philistines are no stranger to King David. David got his fame, his overnight fame, by defeating Goliath, who was a Philistine. And so, losing the troops, if they would have turned their back and walked away from King David at his mourning of Absalom, perhaps it's safe to say that the outcome of this battle could have been completely different. So we pause there today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing your truth to us through your word. The truth of what is good, what is evil. Behaviors that we might see in ourselves that we can so easily justify, but they are revealed through the lens of your word. And I pray that as we find you in the pages of your word, that that lens of the character and the heart of who you are, God, would become increasingly clearer and clearer to us. And all of the scales on our eyes, of the preconceived notions of who we have believed you to be, would fall off and fall away. And we would know good and righteousness, and we would choose to do good, and we would choose righteousness. I pray this all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the new 2.0 app. I'm sure many of you have downloaded it by now. Brand new products there in the store that have never been released before. If you like to grab some DAB swag, DAB garb, I don't know what the kids are calling it these days, there are some beautiful t-shirts based off of little sayings that Brian and I both have, I don't know, defined over the years, used over the years. His, I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow. And mine, love one another. Those t-shirts are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. So that's kind of fun and exciting. And maybe it's just a little conversational piece. Someone likes your t-shirt. Great. It's a great conversational piece to tell them about the word and to get believers engaged in the word of God so that they too can know God for themselves. So check out those things in the shop on the new 2.0 app. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. We're so grateful that we don't have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164, that is the number for chronological. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top. Hit the red circle. Is it the or the? Hit the red. The. I think it's the. Hit the red circle button up at the top right-ish, hand-ish corner of the app. When you are finished, hit the red microphone again, and then hit the little icon down at the right-hand side with the white trees. The white trees, not the white trees. That will ensure your call gets to the right channel. That's going to do it for me today. I shall be with thee tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I want to pray for Deb in Texas that her mother been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I want to pray with her that God work a miracle. We know that nothing's impossible for the wonderful God we serve. I also want to pray for Sue from Waco. Her oldest daughter has separated from her and is there with the grandchildren because she married someone after her husband's death. We don't know why, but we just ask you to bring reconciliation and bring those grandchildren that they can meet their wonderful grandmother and the 92-year-old great-grandmother. Praise God. We just said thank you, Lord, for her still being alive. And we just ask you to strengthen her, at least to be able to see the grandchildren at least one more time. Lord, you continue to be with her. We ask you to touch Kate, who took her test for school, and she didn't pass. Lord, we just ask you to crown her with your wisdom and knowledge as she studied, Lord, and that you be with her. Joyful in Virginia, who did pass her test, but Kay is back in school. She was telling us about her. Lord, we just ask that you be for Joyful in Virginia. Lord, you bless her to pass her test so she can go on to the next grade. You got things that you need her to do. You have a special plan for her life, and it's for their future and not a hope, and a hope. Lord, we just ask you to have your way, Lord. You bring that mother and daughter back together, Father. In the name of Jesus, you bring those fabrics together. You let your will be done. And we thank Brian for the new system. And I would just thank him so much for it. I don't forget how many years it's been. I know it's been over 15 years that I've been with the DAB, but I just thank God for you all. I just actually continue to bless Brian and Jill and Ezekiel and also my precious daughter. I'm in the name of Jesus. I'm getting old. My memory is slipping sometime, but she knows who she is, our precious, your precious daughter, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for the DAB and the Chronicle and all of you people, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aaron. I'm from Evans, Georgia, right outside of Augusta. and I'd been a DAB. Listener for since 2012, been in the church all my life, and I respond so much better when the word is spoken out loud. And I just enjoy Brian, his voice. This is my first year listening to Jill in the chronological, and she is on fire, guys. I love how she she is very good at expository speaking, if you will, and bringing the scriptures to life, just like Brian. It's amazing how long, when you're married a long time, how we are similar to each other. And I especially want to commend Brian and Jill on, I think it was April 1st, when you guys talked about your marriage and the counseling and all you went through there and the breakthroughs and things of that nature. I happen to be a marriage and family therapist, and I think that was such a huge, huge blessing. And you don't know how many people you helped by exposing yourselves. And this is what I love about you guys. Brian and Jill, you expose yourselves and you are available and you are self-disclosing your own life. And I think it's beautiful. Keep up the good work. May God bless you and may God keep you guys. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dab family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. And I'm calling in to pray for Divinely Blessed and her family. I am so sorry for your loss of your cousin and all the circumstances around it, and I'm sorry for the other family that lost your cousin's friend that took her own life. Father God, we are just so greatly saddened by all of the loss that we are experiencing with the young people. We just lift up Divinely Blessed's family and the family of Divinely Blessed's cousin's friend that they both took their own lives. Father God, I just pray that you would just wrap up these families in your wings. Give them comfort. Give them peace. Just pray for healing for these families after what they're going through, and especially the cousin's mother, Lord. Just be with her. It is so hard to lose a child, especially under these kind of circumstances. We just pray for your peace, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we thank you in advance for everything you're doing in their lives. Amen.